Crime and Crime Again is a true crime podcast containing subject matter that may be graphic or disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. This case has received very little media coverage in 6 years. The primary sources for my research of this case were Still a Mystery, Season 3, Episode 8, called New Beginnings, Violent Endings, as well as an article from the Knoxville News Sentinel, written by Travis Dorman. I wanted to give a quick thank you to Travis Dorman for his reporting on this case that has not gotten nearly the attention and awareness that it deserves. Dorian Bluford was born on May 31, 1984, and grew up in Monroe, Louisiana, a town of about 47,000 people that sits less than 50 miles from the Louisiana-Arkansas border. Not much is known about Dorian's childhood or early adulthood, but sometime in his early 20s, Dorian moved to Houston, Texas, where he moved in with his cousin Kimberly, her husband, and their 4 children. Dorian lived with them for about 10 years, and during that time, he became incredibly close with not only his cousin Kimberly, but also her children. He was almost like another parent to them. Dorian worked various jobs, including Burger King and a management position at Walmart. He was responsible and a hard worker, but he also knew how to have fun and bring joy to everyone around him. Outside of family events or outings with friends, Dorian was a relatively quiet person. He was good-natured and a bit reserved until he had time to come out of his shell. Dorian was also a private person. Though he shared a close bond with his siblings and cousins, Dorian kept much of his personal life to himself. Sometime in 2016, Dorian had met and befriended a man who we'll simply call John, as Travis Dorman does in his article for the Knoxville News Sentinel. His actual name has never been publicly released. Dorian referred to John as his best friend, but Dorian's cousins suspected that their relationship might have been more romantic than he let on. It's possible that Dorian and John were romantically involved, but Dorian himself never confirmed that, so out of respect for Dorian, I don't want to delve too far into the realm of speculation. At some point, John moved to Knoxville, Tennessee, and sometime in 2016, Dorian flew from Houston to Knoxville and spent a month there with John. After that, he returned to Houston for reasons unknown, but he and John remained close and in frequent contact. Dorian was married at some point in his life, but by late 2016, he was separated from his wife, though it's unclear how long they were married and not much is known about the relationship. In April 2017, Dorian told his family that he planned on moving to Knoxville, Tennessee permanently, which took them all by surprise. But as Dorian elaborated on his plans for his big move, everything became clear. According to Kimberly, Dorian told her that John invited him to move in with him, and also apparently had a management position lined up for Dorian at a company in Knoxville. On top of that, John promised to provide Dorian with a car until he got settled and back on his feet. But that's not all. John also paid for Dorian's $938 one-way ticket from Houston to Knoxville. Kimberly harbored suspicions from the moment Dorian told her all of this. She couldn't shake the feeling that something was off with the entire situation. In her eyes, it all seemed a bit too good to be true, and Kimberly's daughter, Ariana, shared her suspicions. Possibly the biggest contributing factor to their unease about the situation was that for as long as Dorian had been involved with John, none of his family had ever met John in person. And Dorian provided them with little to no information about John beyond his name. At the time that Dorian announced his plans to his family, he had just recently started a new job, which added to the surprise his family felt about a sudden change of direction in his life. On May 30th, 2017, the day before his 33rd birthday, Dorian's cousin Ariana dropped him off at George Bush Intercontinental Airport in Houston, hugging him and expressing tearful goodbyes before she watched him walk into the airport. Around 4:20 p.m. that day, Dorian posted on Facebook that he had landed at McGee Tyson Airport in Knoxville, and at 7:14 p.m., Dorian again posted on Facebook that he was eating at Joe's Crab Shack in Sevierville, Tennessee, about 45 minutes away from Knoxville. Seeing his Facebook posts brought Dorian's family some level of relief to know that he had arrived safely in Knoxville and was enjoying himself. Dorian had been ecstatic about this big move and the new chapter he was entering in his life. So although they were apprehensive about the situation, Dorian's family was happy to see him happy. At 9:48 p.m. on May 30th, 2017, a 911 call came into local dispatch in Knoxville, in which a woman told the dispatcher that she had just heard a man repeatedly screaming, quote, "He's stabbing me, he's stabbing me," end quote. The woman who called 911 also told the police that after she made the 911 call, she and her husband drove around the area to see if they could see anything suspicious, and they reported seeing a BMW leaving a nearby parking lot just minutes after the 911 call. First responders arrived at First Creek Greenway, a paved trail carved out among clusters of trees, used for walking, jogging, and biking by locals. At first, they didn't find anything, but after about 30 minutes, a firefighter discovered a man lying lifeless in the grass amidst trees on an embankment leading down to a creek. The body was that of 32-year-old Dorian Bluford. He was dead less than 6 hours after arriving in Knoxville. Police found Dorian's wallet along with his baggage claim ticket from the airport. There was still cash in his wallet, leading investigators to believe that robbery was not the motive for his murder. But strangely, Dorian's cell phone and luggage were not found at or near the scene, and they have never been located. Also missing from the scene was the murder weapon, which has also never been located. Toxicology later revealed that Dorian had no drugs or alcohol in his system at the time of his death. An autopsy revealed that Dorian was stabbed 37 times in the back, chest, neck, and arms. Investigators believed that Dorian was initially stabbed in the back before he turned around and tried to defend himself. Investigators learned about John through Dorian's family. They were able to confirm that John was the man who picked Dorian up from the airport just hours before he was murdered. Investigators obtained surveillance footage from the airport that showed Dorian loading his luggage into a BMW. Remember, the woman who called 911 reported seeing a BMW leaving a parking lot near the scene of the murder just minutes after the 911 call. But when investigators tracked down John's address, they were surprised to find that he wasn't home. They discovered that very shortly after Dorian's murder, John left town and checked into a motel with another guest. Investigators were not able to identify the other person at the motel with John. Investigators made the trip down to Sevierville, where Dorian went to Joe's Crab Shack with John after arriving in Knoxville. A waitress at the restaurant told police that she remembered Dorian and John and that they were laughing and having a good time the entire time they were there. When investigators were finally able to speak with John, he did not have much to say and chose to communicate through a lawyer. Investigators were, however, able to obtain a search warrant for John's BMW, where they found Dorian's insurance card in the trunk. They also seized several items to be sent off for DNA testing, but no information has ever been released about the results of any of that testing. Investigators did not locate Dorian's cell phone or luggage during their search. Today, more than 6 years after Dorian Bluford's murder, his case remains unsolved. No suspects have ever officially been named. In the Knoxville News Sentinel article by Travis Dorman, Kimberly said, quote, "I'll never have peace until I'm sitting in the courtroom on the stand, showing people my flash drive of videos of Dorian and how full of life he was," end quote. And to the person who murdered Dorian, Kimberly said, quote, "You brought my cousin all the way from another state to kill him. My cousin was fine. My cousin was okay. He was somewhere where he was loved. He was loved, and I feel like you robbed him of his life. I'll never come to peace with that," end quote. If you have any information regarding the murder of Dorian Bluford at the First Creek Greenway in Knoxville, Tennessee, on May 30th, 2017, please call the Knoxville Police Department Violent Crimes Unit at 865-215-7317. Or call investigator Andrew Markham at 865-215-7317. 7321. Callers may remain anonymous. If you'd like to request a case to be covered on the show, you'll find a link to a case request form in the show notes. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel, where you'll find full episodes, complete with photos relevant to each case. You can follow the podcast on X, formerly Twitter, at Crime Again Pod, on Instagram at Crime Again Podcast, and on TikTok at Crime Again Podcast. Links to all social media can be found in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode of Crime and Crime Again.